you're hearing that music, you know, if you're paying attention, that it's a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we'll be talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. And we love to have you here. This morning, because we're doing some interesting things in the new studio, we usually invite you to join in. This morning, we're going to just have this be a one-on-one conversation with myself and my guest, but I think that's worth sticking around because we're going to have a great talk. My guest this morning, I've had the privilege of chatting with him before. This is truly an honor to get to talk with him again. This is an individual that's made their entire life around spiritual healing. Their great joy is healing. In fact, he says, there is nothing that compares to the moment of healing, of realizing God's actuality and one's innocence as his child. Healing directly impacts families, friends, neighbors, and communities. And that goes together with one of my favorite comments, which is healing is not to be reserved for disease. Healing is about bringing things back into that statement of reality. John, our guest this morning, John, has traveled around the world, literally, on speaking tours. He's spoken in a number of locations, including everything from medical schools to prison facilities to drug treatment centers to religious study classes, so a small cross-section of humanity, as well as articles that have appeared in the Christian Science Journal and the Christian Science Sentinel. So this morning, I'd like to introduce you all. Everybody, this is John Quincy Adams III. I just love that part. Good morning, John. This is everybody.
Hi, Scott. Good to be back. Great to talk to you.
Thanks. Welcome, welcome. So glad to have you here. So I would assume you would agree with the phrase of healing is not to be reserved for disease. So let's start off with that interesting concept. How would you talk about what healing is for? Because I've had people say, well, I don't know that I need healing. I'm not sick, or I don't have a broken leg, or whatever.
Well, healing in Christian Science is really what you might refer to as a mental, moral, spiritual adjustment that takes place in the thought of the individual. And by what happens there is the individual sort of realigns themselves with God, the governing principle of his universe. And when this happens, harmony prevails. It's not a difficult concept to understand. It's really about exercising the qualities of humility and love for God, love for our fellow man, that sort of wakens us to our true identity and as God's expression, as God's son, God's daughter. And when that happens, it just brings us into accord with God's plan. That is the healing, and that will have a direct impact on a person's physiology or their financial concerns or a relationship problem or whatever it is that they've been struggling over.
So that's quite a spectrum of not just physicality, but even relationship, financial, and all the way across. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, looking at notes, you've watched and witnessed, let's say, unreasonable, if we thought of a Western medicine reasonable mind, you've watched and witnessed unreasonable or beyond reason transformations in people in everything from their physical experience, where they might have actually been in a physical dis-ease or disablement, all the way across to changes in their family, changes in their relationship, even changes in their financial situation, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I guess human logic might refer to that as unreasonable, but in Christian Science, it's fully reasonable. I mean, if God is all and God is the governing power of his own creation, then we know that God is good, and because of this, we're the beneficiaries of that. So it's something that's very natural, healing is. The reason for this is because it's true. Harmony is true. I mean, harmony is real. It's not like we're changing life. You know, we're establishing spiritual facts. That's what it is, the science of Christ. So there are precepts that one learns how to apply them in one's own experience. Well, it ushers them into a better understanding of what's real. And, of course, when this occurs, well, they've drawn closer to God. And grand results follow.
Establishing spiritual facts. Now, I know you work out of one of the texts that I know you refer to and that you work very highly out of is Mary Baker Eddy's. There my brain just went away. Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures.
As Christian Scientists, we work with daily. Many of us are avid readers. We cover a lot of current subjects also. But the two study books that we work with most frequently are the Holy Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by the discoverer of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
These are correlated with one another, and we refer to them as our dual pastors.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we seek guidance. We can go to our pastor at 3 o'clock in the morning if we want to. We don't have to wake anybody up. We simply go to our books, open them up, and let the spiritual insights that are presented to us at that moment guide us, comfort us, bring us, as I say, into a better understanding of who we are. You know, all of us have had what you might refer to as an, oh boy, what do I do now moment.
Right.
And that's what my lecture in Sunnyvale is all about. Mm-hmm. That's on March 18th. May I say a couple words about that, if I might?
Oh, absolutely. That was right where we're headed, John, so that's perfect.
Okay, well, why don't I let you guide us there? You're the guy that's sort of steering the ship, so let me let you do this.
This
particular lecture I'm referring to, it's entitled, Oh Boy, What Do I Do Now? And I think all of us at some point or another have had an opportunity to say that to ourselves. I remember as a young boy, I might have made more than one mistake in judgment, and I would find myself thinking, oh, this is going to be found out. Now, what do I do here? Do I reveal it? Do I tell my parents, or do I wait until they discover it? And mm-hmm. is it better for me to get out in front of it, or is it better for me to be patient about it and learn the lesson, and then as they discover it, be a little more settled in my thought about how to address it?
Or maybe even
so
hope I can skate by.
Caught up in a, oh boy, what do I do now, Mama? It could be applied towards, a flat tire out on a highway. It's dark. It can have to do with a financial situation where one has overextended himself. It might even be something, might be a conversation you're having. You've just left the doctor's office. The door slammed behind you. You're heading towards opening the door of your car in the parking lot. You've just heard of a diagnosis and a prognosis, and you're declaring to yourself, oh boy, what do I do now? We all have them. And so Christian Science helps give us an answer to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take just a moment to point out that you don't use the word science when you say Science and Health and Keys to the Scripture, or when you say Christian Science. You don't use that word casually, not even as casually as, say, the laundry detergent says it, with all new science. You're really using the word science in its traditional term, as in an experience or a conclusion that has a replicable or a repeatable outcome.
Yeah, it has to, Christian Science must be proved in order for it to be a science.
Exactly.
And it's not like it's you lift up empirical evidence as much as it is individual lives that are touched by the Christ can testify to how it impacted them and changed them and brought them into a deeper understanding of really who they are, where they are, and why they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's an exact order to these teachings. Indeed, these teachings, I would say, have the detail of a snowflake. They're not complex, but they require understanding. And after all, isn't this what we want? There are many of us who believe in God, and that's a good, good thing. But it needs to bring us to the point where we understand God. If God remains a mystery, then God remains out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Science helps us understand God and understand our relationship to God and what our role is in His plan.
So when I'm in an, oh boy, what do I do now moment, even if it's that something just made me mad, or you've even got an example here of even if it's that suddenly I realize that I'm about to have a serious traffic encounter of the worst kind, what am I going to do with an oh boy, what do I do now moment, John?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me give you a little experience I had. I was a young guy, 19 years old. I had a 1950 Oldsmobile. I had won it in a poker game. And a friend of mine was going off to become a paratrooper, and he had thrown the car into the pot. And he said, whoever wins this, that was his ante. He said, whoever wins this pot, you can have the car. It'll cost you $100. Well, I won the pot, and of course, I paid him for it. And I had this car. Now, this car was a remarkable car. It was had a fiberglass hood on it, and all the engine was chromed. And there were two four-barrel carburetors in there. Mm. And the car had flames that had been pinstriped along the edge, on the sides of each front fender.
Oh, you were styling. Car,
and it was way too fast for me. Way too fast. But what I did was I arranged to get a 1953 transmission put into this 1950 Oldsmobile. And after it was done, the mechanic told me, now, look, you're going to have four different gear shifts. The last shift is at 85 miles an hour.
Whoa.
So I picked up my three buddies. We got out on the road. It was at night. There had been rain during the day. And we started out, and we knew, of course, 85 miles an hour was well past the speed limit. We got up to almost 80 miles an hour waiting for that last shift. And just at that moment, we hit a flash flood on the highway. We hit 3 to 4 feet of water.
Ooh.
And when the car hit the water, it didn't impact it. It sort of rode up on top of it and floated across the top of the water. Now, that was an oh boy, what do I do now moment.
And yeah, because you're no longer steering a vehicle.
Along, it begins to turn over. And when it turns over, it rolls all the way over onto the top. Now, this is before seat belts, so you can imagine four guys in the car as it turns over. Three of them end up on the roof. I'm holding onto the steering wheel, and so I'm upside down, and my head is partially underwater. And we're moving along. Now, my head's about 6 to 8 inches from the roof of the car as it's scraping along the cement. It's at that moment I really have a remarkable encounter. Now you're asking, what do we do with these, oh boy, what do I do now moments? Let me tell you what happened to mine. I just had the most wonderful thought that came to me. And it's from the Christian Science textbook. And it's a passage that's oftentimes written on the walls of many Christian Science churches. Uh-huh. It reads, divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. Now, I remember my grandmother sharing that with me years before and how it had saved her from drowning. And here I was in a similar situation, and this is the thought that came to me. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. Well, divine love is a synonym for God, as used in Christian Science. Okay. And when I thought that, I tell you, Scout, I felt absolutely safe. I had no concern at all about my well-being or the other fellas in the car. And eventually we came to a stop, and we ended up, of all places, up on dry land. We had gone, I think, about 50 yards. When the car came to a stop, we were still upside down, and a passerby came over and somehow got the door open. We all rolled out wet, but no worse for having had the experience.
Mm.
Something happened, Scout, during that moment when that thought came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what it was. It was an experience that taught me that security was not to be found in matter. In other words, I had this protective shield around me with the car, but it didn't collapse. It didn't hit anything. even though my head was near that, there was no harm that came. And the only thing that came that I could think of at that moment was that I sort of found myself in what you might refer to as an enlarged sense of being, or an enlarged sense of God, which you might refer to as a heavenly atmosphere or a thought environment of divine mind, infinite mind, God. It was an undeniable sense that God was as near to me as my ability to think or breathe. And since that incident, I've come to understand that at that moment of realization, what it was would be explained in Christian Science as the Christ, the advanced appearing of God, the divine idea of God, as a ray of light shining in my thought, preserving me, awakening me to God's presence. That's the substance that I discovered through that experience. Yeah, I lost the car.
Yeah.
We all had to find a different way to get home. And my parents were concerned about, what had happened. But there was something very good that came out of the experience. So that's just one simple illustration of what can take place in a oh boy, what do I do now moment. It's not like we have to necessarily ruminate over something. Sometimes an idea can come so quickly and can save us, can elevate us, can inspire us, can strengthen us, can guide us, can give us a clear sense of direction. This is one of the great benefits that come out of being a student of Christian Science.
Perfect. I just want to mention real quickly, John, I want to let our listeners know here in the Bay Area, John's actually going to be here in the Bay Area. We're going to play a real quick spot here that'll give you details. So grab your pen or pencil and write this down so that you can meet with John, and then we've got some more details right after you hear this ad spot.
Oh Boy, What Do I Do Now is the title of a talk by John Quincy Adams to be given on Sunday, March 18th at 2 p.m. at the Christian Science Church in Sunnyvale. This lecture invites the listener to explore the thought of God, the beauty of holiness, where lasting solutions exist. Healings include protection from a high-speed collision, loss of income and property value restored after the market plunged, a medically diagnosed case of terminal illness, and instant recovery from heat stroke. This talk is free and child care will be available. The address is 1575 Albatross Drive in Sunnyvale. For more information, call 408-736-7313. That's 408-736-7313.
Hey, you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives. This is a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. So we're glad that you're joining in. Our special guest this morning is John Adams. John is going to be here in the Bay Area. And John, you've got some additional events here in the Bay Area, so we're really fortunate to have you coming around to play with us more. I've got a couple of other dates. In addition to Sunday the 18th in Sunnyvale, you're also going to be in Mill Valley on the 16th. So let's see, March 16th. So you'll be in Mill Valley
Friday,
on March 16th?
March 16th at 7:30 in the evening. It's going to be at the Mill Valley Community Center, which is 180 Camino Alto.
And then you're doing Bay tour, because then the next day on Saturday, you're going to be in Menlo Park on the 17th.
That's right, and that one's at the church at 201 Ravenswood.
Cool.
All three of these are different lectures I'm giving. If I might, let me just share a little bit about it. The first lecture on 316, which is at First Church, which is in Mill Valley Community Center, it's sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientist Mill Valley. That lecture is entitled, Who is Mary Baker Eddy? And it's an in-depth comprehension of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. And I endeavored to explain her and introduce her to the listener through her writings and through how her writings have had a direct impact on me. Saturday, March 17th at Menlo Park, the title is, If God Is All, Where Is He at This Moment? And that's at 11 o'clock in the morning. Now, the one on 316 is 7:30 in the evening. And then finally, the last one, which I think we're going to talk about mostly today, is the one in Sunnyvale. And that's the lecture that's entitled, Oh Boy, What Do I Do Now? And you've just heard the details on that explained when you shared it.
Right, yeah, perfect. And I do want to appreciate the church, the First Church Christian Science in Sunnyvale is sponsoring the program so that we get to talk with John today. So I'm really glad to have that part. You're going to be doing a busy little tour of the Bay Area here, John. That's fabulous. You get to be everywhere. So,
well, it's, you know, this appointment to the Christian Science Board of Lectureship is a one-year appointment. So the lecturer wants to just enjoy it so much and get as much from it as he or she can and share as many opportunities are presented to them about what Christian Science is, who Mary Baker Eddy is, and how it had a direct impact on the speaker's life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're sharing Christian Science, so what's interesting is frequently it's applied to current events. People coming into the lecture bringing their own concerns with them, and it could be a political concern. It could be a concern for the well-being of a loved one in another country. It could be a concern over academics, over one of their children. It can be anything that they bring to the lecture. And, of course, that lecture is designed to heal them.
So it's not just a sit in the room and think about it. You're really expecting this to be transformational in the experience, in the room, in the moment.
A life-changing experience for certain.
Fabulous. So one question that I always like to hit on in the Spiritual Perspectives programs, John, and I know that we've chatted before, I've had the privilege of, we've talked several times now, so it's not a surprise to you, but one of the pieces I really like to get across to people is there's two words I notice out there in the world that folks, to my eye, seem to get confused about. One is meditation, but the other one is prayer. So I like to find out from the speakers that I get to talk to, what is your experience of, or what is your approach? What do you view that word prayer to mean for you?
Yes, Scott, I love this question, and I really appreciate your asking it again. I was giving a little thought to it earlier this morning, thinking, you know, I'll bet you Scott's going to ask me more about prayer. And one of the thoughts that came to me this morning was reaching out to a source of power greater than oneself. So often we consult with our own thought about whatever it is that we're contending with or needs addressing. And oftentimes we'll have solutions. But there are other times in our lives where we simply need to reach beyond ourselves. Now, that may begin by going to a specialist in a field. It may begin by seeking help from a spouse or from a family member or a good friend. But many, many times, that doesn't bring the solution. It may show that the individual cares for you and speaks assuringly towards you, but prayer is the ability to reach beyond that human concern into a spiritual realm, to have an open conversation with what we call in Christian Science our Father, Mother, God, to seek comfort and assurance and strength from this incredible power that is accessible, has made itself accessible to each of us. So I guess it's a strong desire to understand God, a strong desire to do His will, a strong desire to fulfill our spiritual purpose. It's so multifaceted. I guess we could actually devote the entire hour to that subject of what is prayer and how does one use it. So, you know, maybe I'll, you know, stop here for a moment to give you an opportunity to say a word or two.
Well, I just want to, I'm going to make it really personal at this moment, John. When you go to seek that sense of connection or that sense of awareness with that higher power, when you go to seek that, how do you go about it? What do you do? What's your approach?
Well, I think a good portion of prayer is listening. And not listening to, you know, the rattlings of human reasoning, but quieting thought down sufficiently so that one can have a conversation with God. In Christian Science, one of the definitions of God is immortal mind. Now, that takes on tremendous implications when you think about it. A mind that is everywhere all the time, knowing everything all the time. Its vastness is incredible when one considers to give one gives consideration to it. And when you think about infinite mind, it thinks only in infinite terms. So it's beholding everything within its own infinite universe, which is everywhere. It's beholding everything in an infinite light. So what we're really doing is we're listening to infinite mind redefine us.
Ooh, say that again.
In infinite terms.
Say that again, John. What we're really doing is...
is listening to infinite mind redefine us in infinite terms. Now, what would that mean? Well, it would mean that when we think of our life, we begin to think of it as open-ended, infinite. That which has no starting point and no conclusion. If it's an issue over finances, we begin to think of ourselves as the recipients of income that is infinite. That has no starting point, no conclusion. We've always been the recipient of the infinite good. The same thing in regards to health. Christian Science teaches us that health isn't first and foremost a human condition, but a spiritual quality, which is an inherent part of man's nature. Man couldn't escape health if he tried, any more than he could escape success if he tried. These are qualities that God is continually beholding in us. So you see where we're going here. The more we allow infinite mind to prevail as consciousness, the more we find ourselves thinking in infinite terms about everything. Relationships as well. That there's no start of that relationship, but rather it's a relationship that we've always had and always will have.
So it's not a matter of figure out how to act like this something else. You're describing almost a letting go and reimmersing or releasing back into getting out of the way of something that we were immersed in all along.
That's pretty good.
Good.
I like that.
I like that way better than when I got it wrong.
The human sense called John Adams, you're setting him aside. You're not abusing him. You're kind to him as long as he thinks he's you. You're setting him aside, and you're allowing your Christly nature to come forward, the true spiritual identity. The likeness of God, the exact likeness of God. And when that happens, there's no duality. There's no, a little pea-brain ego called John Adams trying to reach out to this vast ego called God. There's a realization that there is only one ego, one God, one I am. And when we allow that to prevail as consciousness, then we begin to behold everything through the lens of spirit. An open-ended consciousness that defines everything as infinite. Everything good is infinitely good.
So
it's really something to give consideration to, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, I found I had 10 seconds of dead air there while I was busy thinking. It's like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to talk
well,
now.
Well, not to worry, it was filled with infinite mind.
Perfect. Everybody can just let that soak in. So if I'm in the middle of, oh, crap, what do I do now? How do I get back to, oh, boy, what do I do now?
You know, sometimes problems sit heavy on us. Sometimes the solution is at hand but isn't always quickly realized. Again, I have found the discipline teachings in Christian Science help guide me. They comfort me. And so many passages from Scripture itself offer us promise. How many times have we turned to God and discovered just some kind of a simple passage that has just reached out. Something as simple from Psalms, perhaps, like, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And the psalmist goes on to say, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You see, David himself caught that vision of the vastness of infinite good, and he basked in it. He sought a resort in it. He found comfort and strength and regeneration in spirit. God.
So for some people, I always like to toss this in, because some folks have grown up with a certain amount of scars around the word God, or even around the word church, and you're defining something very different than the mental picture of an old dude with a long white beard sitting in a big chair deciding who gets to come sit in his right hand, his left hand, and who doesn't get to come to the party at all. You've got a very, very description there, and I know that the description of the church experience of Christian Science is very different than somebody up front who claims to be the only one that knows, telling everybody else in the room how it really works. I'm just going to toss that over.
Well,
do with that whatever you want to do with that.
We're grateful for, wherever good is showing through, and wherever a person's expressing a deep love for God and man, we're all for it. It doesn't matter what the denominational identity is. We're grateful for all of our brothers and sisters who, around the world, no matter what field of labor they're in or what cultural atmosphere they live in or what religious belief they have, as long as there's an effort to reflect infinite goodness in their day-to-day lives, well, we're right alongside of them. But we
Thank
do
you.
Have an interesting church, and we have a wonderful, wonderful expression coming from what we call the desk, where a first reader and a second reader read on Sundays, and they share passages from the Bible and inspired writings of Mary Baker Eddy. And these ideas are wonderful. They're infinite in nature. They're there for people to give to contemplate, to practically apply in their own individual lives, so that when you leave church, and I don't know whether this has been your experience or not, Scout, but invariably I feel better about myself and life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because there's an influx of spirit that has taken place. And
exactly.
Everything looks better. And, I'm able to say, "Johnny, lighten up. Our God is in charge. He's guiding you. He's guiding those who your thought is resting upon. Now, just be so grateful. Be humbly grateful, Johnny, for all the good in your life." And I think that this is an internal conversation that a lot of folks have when they're leaving church.
So when you think of God, are you picturing an old dude sitting in a chair with a long white beard? What's your picture? What's your concept of this thing that we refer to of that which is God, John?
Well, it certainly isn't a mortal picture or a picture of a mortal magnified. God, as Christian Science explains in seven synonyms, without getting theological on you, is infinite. Infinite mind, infinite life, infinite truth, infinite love, soul, spirit, principle. Those are the terms for God as used in Christian Science, and they correlate with one another. Each has its own unique understanding of God. And really, if you think about God in those terms, you don't think of God so much as a person. You think of God as a consciousness that is tenderly aware of you and is all-powerful and is caring for you in ways that oftentimes don't occur to you about yourself, about your own situation. So you're right. God isn't a mortal magnified sitting on a cloud hurling thunderbolts. God is love, and love realized in ways that cause us to act unselfishly towards others, that gives us a joy, that wakens us to the a joy of giving, of caring. This is another thing, Scout, that I love about Christian Science that I discovered early on when I came back into the teachings, that what Christian Science teaches us so frequently is not how to get, but how to give more effectively, and the great joy that comes from giving.
Mm-hmm. So, John, I know you've traveled literally all over the world. What are you seeing going? Because if you read the press currently, I can't imagine, quite frankly, I don't know how the National Enquirer is still actually having its own niche now that the national press has taken over the same kind of an approach to shake our hands in the air and say the sky is falling. But as you've traveled the world, when you're actually interacting with people and not just what the press wants to report about what's going on, what are you seeing in terms of the notion of a sense of connectedness, a sense of interconnectedness, or a sense of connectedness to this this source or essence or God? What are you seeing worldwide with that, John?
You know, it's very interesting you're asking this. A little over a week ago, the Christian Science Monitor had a great article on that very subject, that it looks so much, we see so much of tragedy and, you know, different events in our world that leave us all in a saddened state and sometimes even in a hopeless state. But the Christian Science Monitor said, well, wait a minute, there's a great deal of good going on in the world right now, folks, that far outweighs the different pictures we're accepting. And when I have visited to different countries, I've had the privilege of this, I always discover the same thing that I discover in New York City, where I live, or this morning while I'm talking to you, that there are people who are earnest in their efforts, that there's an inherent goodness in them, that there's a desire to better understand their situation, that they want to do good for their families, their friends, their community. I just don't see the same thing that oftentimes is presented to us. I have great hope, great confidence in what's going on in the world and the wonderful movements that are taking place around the world by individuals who are acting very unselfishly, that aren't thinking in terms of accumulating wealth, but are simply have undertaken their own ministry to do good in their communities. So this is what I see. And you and I have witnessed this last year, the Arab Spring, and a desire for these countries to have greater freedom, greater ability to control their own lives and to explore, to innovate. This is what's happening. It's an overturning of good. And, of course, democracy, when it comes from within rather than try to be introduced from the outside, really has a staying power because the folks in that country have proved it. They've demonstrated it for themselves. Mm. So I see much good, Scout, around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was in, last year I was in Seoul, Korea for a short stay, and it was not long after the North Koreans had sent rockets into South Korea causing some damage and raising the ire of some of the older South Koreans who really felt great indignation over the whole thing and were ready to confront. I saw others who had a deep, deep fear of going to war and the harm that it would cause their country and themselves. But I also saw a steadiness of thought, a thought that was mature, that was clear, that absorbed the blow, that turned the other cheek, and that maintained a confident trust that, whether you want to call it God or not, infinite intelligence was in charge. So I think that this is really basically what's taking place around the world. And we have so much to be grateful for. And when we have individuals who are in high positions, instead of criticizing them, we really need to pray for them. Pray that God is waking them to what they need to know, so that they have the courage and the insight, the fortitude, to carry forward these ideas that will enable us to join hands around the world.
Perfect, perfect. So, jumping backward a little bit topic-wise, John, when people are looking at, now certainly when suddenly you have a moment, as we spoke early in the interview, when suddenly you have a moment of clear realization in the midst of that amazing slowdown that happens when you're flipping a car over and deciding whether or not you're going to stick on the planet. But when people are taking a look at, I don't know what to do because I don't know if I'm going to get laid off, or I don't know I'm going to find a job, or I don't know how I'm going to make it through on my finances, I'm not sure everybody always associates that together with the word that I'll use just to say healing. Because again, I like to reinforce, healing is not to be reserved for disease. Healing is actually across the whole spectrum of our experience. So where do we go with that kind of an, oh boy, what do I do now situation, when I don't know if I'm going to get laid off, or I did get laid off, or I didn't land that job, or the finances are tight? Where do we go with that to come back to ourselves?
Yeah, it isn't an easy problem, and it demands a lasting solution. Temporary solutions aren't really what we're after in Christian Science. We're after lasting solutions so that we handle these different human conditions more as mental states, and once we've disproved them, we've overcome them permanently. Now, let
Ooh,
me just
wait,
give you
back
an
up, say that one again. Sorry, I know there's a tiny delay in the phone, but back up and say that again. We've handled human situation.
Well, we're taught in Christian Science not to believe the negative aspect that's arguing against our happiness and our lasting well-being. We're taught in Christian Science that there's a larger reality that's occurring at the moment, and we simply need to open our thought more widely to see what's actually going on. And when we do this, it brings restoration, hope. It opens up opportunities. This is a universal truth. This isn't simply a denominational teaching. This is something that's accessible to everybody and available to everybody. And so it's our desire to share this with as many people as we can. But just to go back on this, in the book of Psalms we read, and this is from David, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." So whether one feels lost and alone, separated from good, Scripture's telling us that each of us has access to this secret place of the Most High. This is what I found when the car was turning over, that God is here and that we can openly realize his actual presence now, at this very moment. So you see, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm really not conveying a philosophy. I'm really sharing from the perspective that you and I are living in right now, the presence of God, that right here and right now, God is blessing us. God is caring for us. And we have the ability to open our hearts to that understanding and seek guidance at that moment. Now, does that immediately put bread on the table? Yeah, sometimes it does. There are other times that it doesn't. And so there's a persistence that's required on our part, a knocking at the door of divine consciousness and simply not stop knocking, because we know that you're here, Father, and I need to better understand you. So I ask you, is God looking upon a material, chaotic creation that's somehow subject to random laws, or is God in charge of a spiritual universe, including you and me, and governing us by divine law, and therefore a universe that's functioning in perfect harmony at this very moment? It's this understanding that prompts new desires in us to be and to do better, to act out to what you might refer to as the maximum of good, spiritual man's perfection here and now. This is what Jesus was sharing with mankind. This is what Mary Baker Eddy discovered and struggled to articulate in over 1,700 pages of writing on the very subject of God.
Fabulous. We're talking with John Quincy Adams III, actually. We're talking with John Adams. John's going to be here in the Bay Area. Let me give it a quick second now so that you guys can have the information on where you can go hear him, and then we'll come back and talk more on this.
Oh Boy, What Do I Do Now is the title of a talk by John Quincy Adams to be given on Sunday, March 18th at 2 p.m. at the Christian Science Church in Sunnyvale. This lecture invites the listener to explore the thought of God, the beauty of holiness, where lasting solutions exist. Healings include protection from a high-speed collision, loss of income and property value restored after the market plunged, a medically diagnosed case of terminal illness, and instant recovery from heat stroke. This talk is free and child care will be available. The address is 1575 Albatross Drive in Sunnyvale. For more information, call 408-736-7313. That's 408-736-7313.
Listening to a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This is Scott Bartlett, your host, and our guest today is John Quincy Adams III. This is John Adams. John's going to be here in the Bay Area. They just gave you that information. He's also got two other events. On Friday the 16th, he'll be in May in Mill Valley, and Saturday the 17th, he'll be in Menlo Park. Let me give you one phone number, because the church has agreed to give information on all of those, and that's a contact number of 408-736-7313. Friday he's in Mill Valley, Saturday he's in Menlo Park, and then Sunday he's in Sunnyvale. And the First Church of Sunnyvale has actually sponsored our program this morning. So John, we've been talking about when I'm sitting in the middle of real life, and when real life is not dealing off the deck how I thought it was supposed to, that we get into that moment of, oh boy, what do I do now? And there is that place where I guess the first step is how do you remember to step out of what you're experiencing and question the truth of your senses versus the truth of your essence?
You know, you don't always remember. And that ensures that the struggle goes on for a while longer. But eventually, one wakens. Eventually, at least frequently, there's a wakening where the individual realizes, oh, where's God in all this?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, Father? I need some answers here. And, you know, when this has happened with me, usually I hear God saying to me, not in a voice, but certainly through a mental impression, well, son, I've already given you the answer. I'm right here with you. I love you. I'm rejoicing over you.
Uh-huh.
You're my beautiful expression, and I can only think of you in the most perfect light. Don't worry. No harm will come. There's a perfect solution for you right now. Just listen.
Ooh, say that last part again. There's a perfect solution for you right now.
Yeah, and to just know that right here. I mean, you know, when you and I are talking right now, Scout, we've developed a very wonderful camaraderie between us. Mm-hmm. It hasn't taken very long. It's taken a few hours of conversation. But mm-hmm. you trust my thought, and I trust your thought. Well, why is that? Well, it's because we've found a commonality. And that commonality is that we both have a deep devotion for life. We have a deep devotion to making new discoveries about who we are and what our relationship to life is. So, I mean, this is what is available to all of us around the world. If we're quiet enough, listen enough, and show the kind of loving consideration for each other that we all deserve, it opens up wonderful opportunities for closeness and for ways to be of help and to support with each other. What a way to live life, you know?
Mm.
It's happier. It's more peaceful. And it doesn't mean that we won't have challenges. We will. But to have the assurance that right here and right now, the same mind that's realizing me is the same mind that's realizing you. To know that you and I are the expressions, unique as we are, unique individual expressions of the same life, that creates a bond.
I love that phrase, unique expressions, but of the same life, and allowing that to be a bond and a recognition so that we come back to whether I'm understanding somebody else's motives or whether I'm understanding their approach. If I'll come back to the recognition that somewhere in there they're operating from a motive I probably could understand if I just step back, maybe that opens a door for a different level of communication.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, it's not what you'd call a cerebral exercise. It's just really, you know, opening our hearts and just seeing the very best in each other and bring our very best to each other. And then we're going to make wonderful discoveries about the amount of intelligence and charm and goodness and the promise and, you know, and the achievements that parties have made. But if we're always so busy focusing in on our own needs, and, you know, we don't look up enough, well, we're robbed of the richness of the encounters that we have. So we need to pause, wait on God, and then allow infinite mind to reveal more to us of ourselves and more to us of others.
We need to pause and allow that to reveal, allow that to be open. So, John, I know that you've had experiences traveling around the world. There have to be some places where you found that you were running into a different culture or a different concept, and you recognized a place where things were being stymied or they weren't working. How do you step around that to find that place to reconnect at that depth of ourselves?
You know, you've brought back a memory to me when you said this. I remember this last year I was up in the north of the Philippines in a little community called Kapangyan. And I was invited there to give a lecture, and it took several hours to get there driving. And when I got there, I got to a little town area, and there was a nice building there, and the mayor was there, and I was honored by the vice mayor.
Wow.
That I had come into the community to give a talk on Christian Science. This is so interesting what happened, Scout. As folks gathered there, you know, in the square, there were chairs set up, and there was a stage area. And by the time I was giving the lecture, there were over 100 people who had come. Many of them had walked a long distances to get there, but they felt it was important for them to be there. Some didn't even speak English, but they were coming, and many of them brought food, so that at the end of the lecture, there was a two long tables set up with all the different foods that people had prepared and brought for everybody to eat. And Scout, during that period of time, I was on the stage. There were fellas behind the stage that had gotten a hog and had cut the hog up, and they were cutting it up and putting the pieces on banana leaves there, and they were getting ready to boil it. All of this is going on around me, and you know, when it was over, I got a chance to observe that, but more importantly, several of the people from these from the surrounding community came up to me and started talking to me, and some of them confessed some very serious concerns they were telling me, and they were telling it in front of their neighbors. And I sort of stopped them on more than one occasion. I said, well, perhaps you want to tell me this in private, where it's just the two of us talking. And more than once they said, no, they know about it. It's okay, they know about it. There's an innocence in them, a goodness in each other. And I have found this, that sometimes the poorer the people, the more they give to each other. The more they care about each other, the more they give each other support. So there's a richness, even where there's a great loss or great need. It seems like, well, it doesn't seem like it. It is the case that what we would refer to in Christian Science is the Christ, or the absolute spiritual goodness of man, becomes most apparent where the need is the greatest.
Oh, that's perfect, John. That's a perfect summary. And we're out of time. I wish we could talk on forever, but right at this point, I actually have to close out. So that was a perfect close, and thank you so much, John. It's always a privilege when we get to talk.
For me.
It's such a privilege when we get to talk. I so appreciate it. This is Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from a spiritual perspective. Our guest today has been John Adams, John Quincy Adams. For more information about John's Bay Area appearances, just give a call to 408-736-7313 or listen for the ad spots. This show will actually replay here on KEST next week to make sure that you know about it. Meanwhile, this is your host, Scout Bartlett, reminding every single one of you to treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are, and no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
Yeah.